Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in everything anywhere. I'm your host of the best of everything anywhere, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kendrick.
Second best.
Second best. How's that feel?
I mean, of everything anywhere, it feels pretty good.
Yeah, you know, if we were being serious and somebody told me I was second best, I'd say that's a lot higher than I ever thought I'd get. So.
Yeah, you know, I really just want to crack the top million, frankly, but even that's pretty optimistic.
Right, yeah. Anything new for you?
Anything new? Chauncey, what do you think I am? Some kind of new and exciting person who has things going on their life?
Well, neither am I, but I'm
a radio host.
They're just bad things that happen to me that I tell about.
Well, that's fair. The other day, my doctor, ended their practice, but didn't renew my medication. So I had to, scramble to find a new doctor and do all that. And, now I have to fight against time to get back on my meds. So it's fine, though. I worked it out, but it was annoying.
You think that'd be something that they tell you, ahead of time.
I would think, yeah.
Well, I take Prozac, right? And, and there's no street value to Prozac. I just take a stupid pill. I've been taking it for years. And now it's like my doctor, every 6 months is all, well, you need to come in so we can reevaluate you. And I'm all, reevaluate me for what? If you tell me I'm coming off the drug, I'm getting a new doctor. Well, is that what we need to reevaluate? Because...
Yeah,
those are our options, you know?
It's crazy. Well, because they do the same thing with, estrogen and spironolactone, which is, super safe drugs. And I know there's some, slightly elevated risk of clotting. So, you know, if your
is
blood
that,
works...
Is that second one something that goes with estrogen, or I've never heard of the other one? It goes
well, so estrogen is... Just, estrogen. And that's the risk of clotting thing.
Oh.
And spironolactone is an anti-androgen. So actually the thing is that trans women anyway, have to take an anti-androgen as well because testosterone is an estrogen suppressant.
Gotcha.
By its very nature. So if you just take estrogen, you won't really see effects unless you take very high doses, which can have effects for your cardiovascular health. Uh-huh. So you need also something like spironolactone, which is prescribed for a ton of other things, like certain types of cancer, just certain hormonal things. It's a lot of other stuff. But it's the same exact thing. There's no street value, and it's I don't know. If I have severe clotting risk, I guess that's something. It's reasonable to take labs every so often, but I'm not gonna just detransition because of a bad lab result, right? Looks crazy.
Yeah, of course. And although there is something funny in there, I have to say that there is a natural reason. Apparently men can't be blamed for repressing women any longer.
What?
It's purely chemical. Testosterone represses
estrogen. Oh my God. Why do I tell you anything? I don't know why I come on here and share facts when they're just going to be.
You're just feeding the right argument points. All right, hang on one sec.
Okay. The host has left. It's left the room.
Oh, well, I don't edit
it. Turn
the light was driving the walkers. Okay, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, you're really going to love this. Trans men don't have to take, some kind of anti-estrogen, because
they're entitled.
They just take testosterone, and that's all.
Right, because they're entitled. It comes with becoming a man. All of a sudden, it becomes easier for them.
I hate this.
I was listening to talk radio on the way back from the dump. I went to the dump today, and I have to say the heat.
That seems
not doing the dump a lot of favors. But
No.
I came back fuming because there was some conservative teacher on there who was talking about how teachers were teaching kids with the privilege pie, and it's a circle split into 8 bits, and the teacher's just all, yeah, and if you're a man, you fill in one of the pie pieces, and if you're Christian, you fill in a pie piece, and if you're this, that, and the other, you fill in a pie piece. And he's just all, and I was the one with the most filled in pie pieces, even though people had no idea what kind of life I led. And I'm just all like, you are a teacher. You apparently have missed the purpose of this teaching exercise. This teaching exercise is not that you're more privileged now that you're 40, although you probably are. The point was that from birth, you had a more stable privilege from birth, and then like
you have more opportunities.
right. You know, but this isn't judging you now as a 50 whatever year old man you are now. You're a teacher, man. You got to read the fine print. You know, there's the part the students read, and then there's the part that the teachers read, because that's the lesson. I don't know. I was very irritated that this guy didn't even get the lesson. Now, don't get me wrong. Does the lesson need to be taught? Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not arguing for the lesson or against the lesson. My problem was that he was a teacher and he didn't understand the lesson. That was my problem.
Right. No, you hear just the most facile arguments on talk radio sometimes. Well, really on YouTube, on podcasts, on a lot of things. And it's like, I disagree with you, but I wouldn't be mad if you had made the argument in a smart way, you know? Like, there are smart ways to make the argument, and you just, it's like, okay, now I think you're wrong, and I don't respect you.
Right. Right. Yeah, right. There's nothing worse than somebody, like, dropping a dumb argument and then walking away like they're so smart. I like to drop a dumb argument that makes me win and be like, bam, see, I even beat you with a dumbass argument. You know, but it's like, you gotta know it's dumb before
it counts.
You
do it too. Oh, no. But seriously, though, I feel like dumb arguments play really well on talk radio.
They play well in general on both sides. They do.
Yeah, no, they do, because it's like, you'll still catch a lot of people with them. And also, it's like, maybe you'll catch more people, because it's like a freaking third grade picture book, you know? Everyone can understand it.
Well, I think both sides are using this 10-year-old girl who had to get an abortion as a dumb argument for and against abortion. Both sides are doing it. Because they're taking, okay, well, here's millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to focus on one 10-year-old kid as the deciding factor in this situation. Don't get me wrong. I think it's terrible. I want everything to work out for this girl. I want her to get what she needs or what she wants for her life and so on and so forth. That's not the point. The point is people picked the one little thing,
in, like, her specific story.
Right, right. You obviously don't care about the greater good. You don't care about nothing. All you care about is picking one little thing. It's like when me and all my roommates were in our 20s, we would, like, get drunk and argue. That's what you do when you're in your 20s.
Sure, yeah.
You know, banter about the world. And one time Jason told his brother Chad told Jason that he was like Hitler over and over. Because of some argument that had nothing to do with Hitler and like, and Jason, yeah. Right. And then Jason ends up grabbing him and punching him in the face, right? As Chad's like yelling that he's like Hitler, which at that point, it might have been. But then you hear Chad squeal and he busts his nose and like blood goes flying and everything. And so moving on from that point, we had rules up in our house. And our rules were, when arguing, you can't use Hitler or Jesus as an argument.
Okay.
Those were the only off, because, like, they just led to two extremes. It's like, we're trying to solve a problem here, not just jump to the extreme, you know?
Yeah. I just, people are so averse to just, like, using studies. Like, man, just use the data. That's what actually makes any kind of, that's the only thing that matters, really, to me, is the data. Like, the only time I will accept an anecdotal argument is if there is no data. But people use anecdotal arguments, and you get told to use anecdotal arguments. Like, if you take any kind of class on communication, if you take any, even just, like, in high school, if you take classes on, just in your English classes on how to construct an argument, you get told, you know, connect it to a story. Your arguments will land more if they're, you know, a story. And it's like, yeah, but I hate that. And it shouldn't, you know?
And that's kind of what I was saying about the abortion thing. As terrible as it is that this happened to this 10-year-old girl, does the negativity and the difficulty that a 10-year-old girl has to have to go through, does that, and I don't care if you're on the left or the right, does this one 10-year-old girl's life outweigh the millions of women who are going to be forced to raise a baby, or the millions of babies that are going to get aborted, regardless of what side you're on?
Right.
How does this one person undo these other massive, massive arguments? You know, and it's like,
yeah, you can't base an anything that has to do with millions of people on, like, the story of one person. You know, right. I get choosing examples and that sort of thing, but examples should be, I think it is reasonable if you're not, like, making an argument, but you're, like, illustrating an argument, you know, to use.
Sure, I mean, it's good to know, like,
this is kind of, yeah, you know, just to tell the story of how it works on average in a comprehensible way. I think that's reasonable, but, like, people just get so caught up in just, you know, telling these stories, and it's like, if you don't come to the same conclusion I do based on this story, then you're a monster. It's like,
right,
my dude, like,
pregnant 10-year-old girl, mic drop.
Exactly. And it's like, my dude, just show me some pie charts, show me some spreadsheets, show me something boring. That is
what where the truth lies. The truth lies in boring as all hell.
The truth is boring. The right. Truth is, because our conception of what is boring is based on what happens the most often,
right,
which is the truth, which is reality. So, like, usually the truth is boring. Anyway.
Okay, I've used up too much of this. I still have a messed up story to tell you. I haven't told you yet.
Please.
Okay, so I'm working out here in my office. I don't know what I call it. It's a garage that's been turned into a room that is now my office studio. Studio, we'll call
gotcha.
It. I'm out here in my studio working, and my cat is very vocal. He will not shut up. He's just all meow, meow, and he's always this way. He just constantly talks smack. And, like, he comes in here, and he never turns down pets. You put your hand down, there he is. And I hear him meowing in my room, in my office here. And I call him. I'm all meow, meow. That's what I call him. He doesn't show up. And I put my hand down, meow, meow. Still don't show up. He hasn't shut up. He just hasn't shown up. So he's still meowing away. I lean back. I take a look over there. He looks up at me like, meow, and meows in my face again. I'm all, what the hell? Come here. Still doesn't come. And so I roll back, and I take a look, and he looks at me, and he looks down and starts going after a mouse in my office.
Oh.
And I'm all, like, I want to deal with this. I'm, like, on the brink of going to bed. And I look at the mouse, and I'm all like, there's something wrong with that mouse. That mouse has something extra on it. That mouse has wings.
Ooh.
So there's a bat crawling across my floor that my cat has already mashed up. I got, like, some snack food here that I had eaten, an empty bowl, glass bowl, so I go to try to get the bat. I got to get it out of here. I don't know what to do with it, right? And I go and I catch the, shoving the cat out of the way, and I catch the bat. I put the bowl on top of it. And as I do, I hear, as I break one of its bones and its little arm wing. And it's not making any noise. It's barely moving. I got it under the bowl. I don't know what to do, man. It's like, what do you do? And, like, so I, like, get some paper towels And like, I don't
you
know if
it's tested in case it bit you, so you don't have to get a rabies shot, is what you do.
It didn't bite me. Might have bit the cat.
Well, might have. Bat bites are incredible. You can't tell.
Oh, believe me, it didn't come anywhere near me like that, unless it like stuck up on me and sucked my blood from behind. But
possible.
So there it is, and I get the wad of paper towels, and I pick it up, and I wrap it up in the paper towels. I fold it under, so now I have a dying bat in the paper towels. What do you do?
I call animal something. I call animal control, and I like, hey, I got a bat. It was in a room where I work, and I need to know if it has rabies.
Okay, I went a whole different direction on this.
Yeah, what do you do? Bat casserole?
I beat it to death with a bowl to make sure that it was dead. Threw John the bowl C. away.
John C. Why? You had it.
I didn't want it to suffer, man. I didn't know what to do.
No, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. It was already injured. That makes sense.
My cat had already probably hurt it beyond the thing, and then I broke its wing, the one thing that a bat uses, it sure ain't using its ears, and like, or its eyes, you know? And, yeah, so I beat that thing to death with the bowl, washed the bowl, put it in the dishwasher. Terry made me throw the bowl away.
Well, did you get a shot?
No.
You were handling it.
I never touched it.
I thought you, oh, well, yeah, I guess you beat it to death with a bowl.
Yeah, while wrapped in paper towels.
Still, it can spread through fluids. It only takes, like, one molecule.
I'm pretty confident that I...
Okay, I'm just saying.
I don't know, man. Now you got me freaked out.
Well, get...
My mouth is dry, Kara. What?
You're going to die, Chauncey. Get a shot.
Is that the deal with rabies, that by the time you see by the time there's any, like, effects, it's a death sentence?
Well, you sleep in there sometimes, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Well, then...
I didn't want the whole world to know, but okay, fine.
Okay, well, if you find a bat in a room that you sleep in, then yeah, you should definitely get a shot. But, I mean, look, I'm not...
This bat wasn't hanging out in here. This bat was caught outside and brought in by my cat.
Well...
Guaranteed.
Okay, well...
Yeah, no.
Then maybe.
This ain't the first corpse he's brought in.
I would just bring it up with, you know, if you know anyone who has any medical training, see what they think. You're probably
all right, everybody, like and subscribe down below and tell me if you think I
tell me
get a
in the comments if I, Chauncey Haworth, I'm going to die.
Yeah, like and subscribe. All right.
Look, I mean, the shot is painful, but like you may as well, right? Like, better safe than sorry.
I can handle a shot. I'm fine with that. If that's what I should be doing, I'll get the shot. You know, it's fine. But
okay. It's probably unnecessary.
But. Yeah. Well, I've been feeling bad all night and all day for beating that thing to death. So.
Yeah, and from the rabies.
Oh yeah. Well, that makes
symptomatic. You're already dead.
All right, you got any
let's talk about nuclear war. Let's talk about nuclear war.
All right.
So New York City launched a new PSA on the TV focusing on preparing people for a possible nuclear attack. So it's just a quick little video basically just saying, what do you do if there's a nuclear attack? It's kind of interesting. You get into a building. You get away from the windows, you try to get as close to the middle of the building as possible, or underground, because that's what's going to protect you from radiation. You know, you want to close off all the doors, you want to, well, anyway, there's a bunch of stuff. As interesting as the PSA is, it freaked out a lot of New Yorkers who didn't probably think there was any need to know this information. Mm-hmm. Which is understandable. It's the segment you sent me indicated that this was probably related to basically the fact that we're in a big conflict in Europe with Russia right now. But it didn't, at no point did anyone actually say, yes, this is why we did the PSA. People were just like, it's good information to have, which is like, okay. I assume that's why, but like.
Yeah. And it is good information to have, you know, and, you know, there's a lot of good information to have. Mm-hmm. And this is what I thought when I saw it was like, why didn't they say, well, New York City is going to update a bunch of our information, including like, you know, what to do in a subway disaster, what to do in this case, what to do in a nuclear attack, all sorts of stuff. We're going to release them all. But not like, yeah. Hey, we got something new for you guys to check out. It's what to do when the Russians try to kill your ass. You know, it's like,
it's by itself, nuclear attack.
Yeah, no, I think there's probably better ways that they could release this. But at the same time, no. We have to realize that we live in a world where nobody's listening, nobody cares, and half of the people that do care think you're lying. So when they put out the information, if they don't put it out in some sort of break the internet, if they don't tape it to Kim Kardashian's butt in a videotape, nobody is going to watch it and nobody is going to care and nobody's going to learn that information. So I was a little tossed up on the release of this video, you know.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
I didn't really think about that, but yeah, maybe the fact that they're releasing it in and of itself will get people to look at it just because of the, oh my God, we're all going to die factor. And maybe some of that will be retained if, you know, the day ever comes. Right.
Right. The fanfare will get it out there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of smart. Like it is, like you said, yeah, you have to weigh it against what's the value of getting people this information that they probably will never use. Hopefully, right? You know, we've got big other problems than people being unprepared if that day ever comes versus, you know, the possible detriment of freaking people out unnecessarily in a time and an age when you may have noticed people are a little keyed up, perhaps unnecessarily. You know, perhaps people are a little freaked out by media that is telling them stuff that they don't really need to know, that is unnecessarily frightening and sensationalistic. That is, I think, as people have observed, a problem of our modern era. So, you know, I think this is a good impulse. I do think, okay, but was this necessary? Right. Like, also, the square footage of New York, not particularly huge. And you gotta think, the Russians would probably hit it with at least a couple bombs.
So, the PSA should have said something to the effect of, if we are nuked, you're going to die. So instead, take this advice, and that is, those who worry suffer twice. You know?
Perfect PSA, Chopsy. I love it. Why didn't they hire you? I love it.
But I do wonder about the meeting that this happened in, because I understand why people are going, do they know something that we don't know? Because there was a table full of theoretically educated people that sat around and said, well, what does this town really need? And one guy's just all, somebody to actually clean the public bathrooms. And somebody's all, no, you know, like, maybe we should do a nuclear PSA. And everybody's just all, that's great. That'll bring us all together. That'll be helpful in this moment. Or they said, yeah, we really might get nuked by the Russians. I don't know. I get why it set people off, for sure.
Yeah, I would be a lot more worried if I felt like there were people in that meeting who, like, knew stuff that the general public wasn't privy to.
Right.
You know, if it was five councilmen and also a five-star general, and everyone's like, you should clean the bathrooms, and the general's like, you need to do a nuclear PSA. That, we're like, okay, General Ripper, we got it, we'll do it.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
That would have been concerning.
Yeah, but not a lot of argument coming back from.
Right, it was like, okay, Jerry, we'll make that happen.
Right.
But it's not clear that that's the situation. So whoever decided this was a thing to do made that determination just based on the fact on their looking at the same news as the rest of us.
Right. Which creates the sub news segment of this news segment, and that is that, are we in a proxy war, and are they using this situation to their advantage? So we know that the Russians basically used our social media to whip us up into a fur, you know.
Sure.
And so here the Russians are basically saying on the news and putting out that they will nuke us. They're saying we're in World War III already. They're saying this sort of stuff is coming out of Russia.
Sure. Yeah.
Now they're not saying it hugely, but they are implying it on a regular basis and straight up saying it once or twice. And in a world of mutually assured destruction, maybe they've just weaponized saying it.
Oh, I think that's absolutely what it is.
I think what I'm getting at.
I think they are basically just trying to create friction on the American side to doing every little new thing because they don't want Ukraine to drag out anymore. Like, Russia is eventually going to conquer Ukraine. They just have more stuff. They, you know, I'm sure they didn't want it to drag on even this long. So from the West's perspective, we're just trying to drag the war out as long as possible to create a higher opportunity just to make Russia think more the next time they want to do this. They are weaponizing this sort of Matt Richard Nixon mad bomber thing just to try and get us to not. Right. So I don't think they would actually do it, but I also didn't think they would actually invade Ukraine. I would say we are definitely in a proxy war. Not the first time we've been in a proxy war with Russia since the Cold War ended. You know, Syria, you could also definitely have described that way. We were giving aid to one side, Russia was giving aid to the other side.
Right, but that's not what's happening here.
No, that's true.
We're giving aid to one side that's directly fighting Russia. At best, we're in a proxy war. We're like halfway to an actual war with these people, you know?
No, that's true. That's true.
And yeah.
But, you know, there have been a lot of wars you could describe as proxy wars that were like that. Like Russia and Afghanistan. That wasn't an actual war, but
the Russians weren't actually fighting, though, were they?
Yeah, Russia. That was back when we like were arming the Taliban.
Yeah, I saw Rambo 3. I know what this is about.
Okay, so the Russians were trying to conquer Afghanistan.
Right.
They were trying to occupy Afghanistan, and we
Okay. I thought that was a proxy war where they were arming insurgents and we were arming insurgents.
No, the Russians were directly in Afghanistan.
So they're used to this.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it is strange, though, because this kind of us versus Russia kind of thing really hasn't happened since we're, like the Cold War ended. So it's really just in the last 10 years or so that it's really kind of started to be a thing again, which I have mixed feelings about, to be honest, because I really don't like Russia. You know, I think Vladimir Putin is a monster. I think it's a hyper stratified, bigoted society controlled by just a handful of oligarchs. And at the top, basically a dictator. I don't love that model for the world. You know, it's an autocracy through and through. But also, I have big problems with the idea that the U.S. just gets to do whatever to any country it wants. So, like, on some level, it's like, okay, I'm happy someone is challenging our influence. I wish it was someone I liked more. But it also, to me, maybe it doesn't matter who's challenging our influence as long as we know we can't just do whatever, wherever. Because every time in history, I feel like we've thought that and we've had, like, an administration who that was kind of their policy. We've gotten into huge problems. You know, at the beginning of the Cold War, at the beginning of the War on Terror, both times we went off super half-cocked and ended, you know, we ended up in Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, and none of those countries have recovered and probably really won't recover. So,
I would say one big difference here is that the Ukraine is wholeheartedly asking for help. They don't want this.
Right. You know? No, that's true. And I'm not really even talking about Ukraine. I'm more talking about stuff like Syria, because Syria was a case that was a little more complicated, I think, just in terms of, like, Muammar Gaddafi was a bad guy, but, like, or Bashar was a bad guy. Gaddafi was Libya, sorry. But, Assad was a bad guy. But, like, so were the Saudis. And also, it is like, okay, and they didn't want to trade with us. So it's like, wondering what sort of the financial incentive was there. So, but Ukraine, I think, is much more straightforward.
I'm still marinating on what you're saying about that we need to be challenged by somebody. And maybe there's some truth there that we need to be challenged and pushed back. I'd feel a lot better about it if we were challenged and pushed back by the EU or the United Nations.
I agree.
Russia.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, our adversaries have been Russia and China, which are like both autocracies, which I don't love. But all I'm saying on that basically is that the United States has a history of fomenting regime change in other countries, in not even doing that, but using the threat of that to make other countries do what we want. And a lot of times not even for security reasons, just for, like, economic reasons. Security. Yeah, you know, we want you, you have valuable minerals in these hills, and we want our companies to be able to mine there. And if you say no, maybe we'll replace you with maybe we'll fund rebels.
With Saddam Hussein.
Exactly. In Iraq. So we tend to do stuff like that, and I'm just saying maybe a world where those countries have the option to say, hey, Russia, can you help us with this? And Russia's like, sure, why not? We like messing with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Is better than a world where countries in that position just literally have no recourse, which has kind of been the world we lived in since the end of the Cold War.
Right.
So,
well, I'm trying to pull my mind out of this sort of, as you know, I always kind of refer to myself as like this sci-fi belief system.
Sure.
And I'm trying to pull my mind out of that because that's definitely one thing. The argument I always gave other parents when they're just all, my kids only watch half an hour worth of television a day. I'm just all, well, good luck with your weird ass kid. You know, because like.
That was me.
Yeah.
That was me. Well, we had time limits.
The question is, are you raising your kids for the perfect world or are you raising them for this world? Right. And so, you know, the argument has to be made. Are decisions being made for the perfect world? Because I don't mind that as being the end goal, but the perfect world ain't going to come in your lifetime. And it ain't going to come in my lifetime or anybody else here that's listening. So what we're trying to do is make this world better. And it becomes difficult when you start to say, when one starts to say, I'm not just putting it on you, because I say these things too, these sort of like extremists. Well, if the world was like this, or if we did this, or got challenged by this, you know, and like, so I'm trying to, I don't know, just think more about keeping the boat afloat and less about what should be.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
See, I think there's a difference with you, though, because you are, like, you're trying. You know, you're making
Of course
effort.
You do, because you people are always that way.
What?
Sorry, that was supposed to be funny.
I got that it was a joke, like, 2.5 seconds too late.
All right, go ahead.
No, but, like, you genuinely think, like, homophobia is a problem and that we should, like, try to address it, right? There are lots of people who don't.
Yeah, I think that's the symptom of a problem. I think the problem is people caring about what other people do that has nothing to do with it.
Okay, sure. But still, there are a lot of people in this country who think that homosexuality is immoral. There's a big percentage. So, right. Like, and those people are bigots. And people are now pushing back on that, whereas it used to be you wouldn't get called a bigot for believing that. You would just be a normal person for believing that because everyone was a bigot. Now it's changed, and they're reacting to that. But, like, I think you're right. That's a genuine, like, people are having feelings about that genuine concern of, oh, I can't be bigoted anymore, but also, like, suck it up. Sorry, you can't be bigoted anymore.
Right, yeah, no, I get that, and of course I think this kind of comes back to my, and I know I'm not saying any of this very well. I'm trying to understand it. I think it kind of comes back to what I was saying earlier about the perfect world in this one. And yeah, that is that we are all crapling and monkeys. And I think maybe our expectations are just a little too high.
Yeah. Well, I hope not.
I don't know. You know, I think a few more funerals. Once my generation's dead, once I die, you can have a party because you'll know that the generation is dying off.
Well, when you die, I'm going to be in my 70s.
Yeah, no, you'll get like 10 years of happiness.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, on this radio thing that I was talking to you about earlier, the guy was also saying that he's, like, started a bunch of, like, school groups across Oregon to teach conservatism to
conservative
elementary school. Is that not a word? Conservatism?
I don't think so, but I know what you mean. So
conservative ideals? Conservatism? Yeah. No, that's a word that at least Sean Hannity uses it. I don't know if it's a word that...
I think
sure that's much of an argument.
I think people say conservatism, not conservatism.
Conservatism.
Yeah, I think people say that.
There'll be another blip
up. Kind of awkward. I don't know.
Conservativism? Conservatism? I don't know. Who cares? But basically, they were talking about having conservative groups in elementary schools and high schools in order to teach these to kids. And he said that so that kids would be allowed to, you know, get together and talk about their belief systems. And I'm just all like, ooh, that does not sound, that does not sound very kumbaya, you know, which I kind of feel like the school system should be somewhat kumbaya, but I don't know.
You know what? I was just realizing, I was saying a second ago, like, you can't be racist anymore, but you totally can, actually, though. Like, if you're a, like, Ivy League educated conservative who can just about string two sentences together, you can make big money as a pundit. Like, you know, yeah. It's you totally can.
Well, that's what I see. Really can on the left. That's what I see when I see a lot of these people is basically just people trying to whip people up. You know,
yeah,
like
Alex Jones being like, I'm being silenced. You have a radio show, man.
Right.
You have,
yeah.
Or you have a TV show. You have millions of people hang on your every word. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, you are the governor, the woke mob. What do you mean?
Right.
You control the like state. There are people with guns who do what you say.
Yeah. Didn't Marjorie Taylor Greene have a mask that said censored while speaking on the floor of the House of Representatives or something?
Like, oh my God.
And I'm all
what
like,
are you talking about? And it resonates with people who eat it up because, like, their nephew told them they were, like, their nephew blocked them on Facebook. And, you know, they see Marjorie Taylor Greene on the Capitol floor and think she's just like me. She's not like you. She's laughing all the way to the bank.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Sean Hannity, his slogan for his show is something like, creative solutions to American problems and, or something to the effect of that. And I listen to, you know, quite a bit of conservative talk radio, and Sean Hannity is one of them. And I got to say, I'm not hearing a lot of solutions. I'm hearing a lot of like tearing other people down and saying what we shouldn't do and pointing out where people made mistakes. But I got to say solutions is not like, what I would say was a big part of his program.
Yeah, I'm not.
Nor
yeah,
most,
I don't,
nor most programs. So I mean, you could throw
it's true.
You know, a lot of people into that from wherever yeah. you want. But
yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily associate the whole movement of like the Ron DeSantis, Sean Hannity, like Ben Shapiro, right, with like nuts and bolts, like thought through like policy bills, right? That's yeah. kind of not what they're producing. They're more into propaganda. Yeah, anyway,
so weird.
As opposed to us, who are always right, but you know what? You can listen to us because we have no financial incentives, really, any particular
way. And I do have a solution. I do have a solution.
Yeah,
I have several solutions.
Solution.
One is stop being a jerk. The other is, if you're the if you're the nephew that blocked your uncle because you think he's a racist turd, don't do that. He's your family. You're one of the only people that he will ever see that's different. Try to convey your message in a way that's not being as sensitive as he is. You know, try to change the world. If you want to be an activist, activate. Get out there and try to change the world. Don't block your uncle. Now, don't get me wrong. If he's threatening to kill you, you know, you might need to block him. There are situations where one might need to block them. But for the most part, don't automatically write people off just because you disagree with them. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. I like to think I'm like liberal Jesus. I go out there and people tell me that they disagree. I'll let them know what I believe, and then I'll sit there and I'll keep talking to them anyway. And when they get all upset and so on and so forth, I'll be all like, maybe we could talk about something else because you're obviously getting a little upset about this. Be liberal Jesus, if that's really.
Yeah. Or block your uncle, delete your Facebook because Facebook freaking sucks, and don't give Mark Zuckerberg money. Key his car and burn down the local Chase bank.
Why do I feel like that was somewhat autobiographical? Have you blocked your uncle? Have we been talking about you?
I don't think I blocked anyone's uncle. I did delete my Facebook.
No, I know that, but...
No comment on the Chase Bank part.
The deleting your Facebook account, that's your age bracket. You know, none of my kids use Facebook for anything
other
than...
Yeah, it sucks. Why do you use it?
Yeah, I'm starting to question myself. Because now I'll be all like in a Transformers community, like talking about some new action figure, and people will be all like, let's go Biden or
right. You're scrolling down the list of like action figure articles and it's all benign stuff. And then you find like one that has, it's hidden, it's cut off and it says, you know, 200 comments. And it's like,
right.
God.
You know, somehow they pull it in, you know, and it's like, the Star Trek community is the worst, man, because there's a whole bunch of people like.
Well, because Star Trek actually talks about political issues sometimes.
Right. And
like, sort of in there.
Well, they try to argue that like that original Star Trek wasn't like woke and stupid like it is now. And
Roddenberry was a socialist, guys.
Well, I mean, it was woke and stupid for its world. The world that you grew up in, and now it's woke and stupid again for the world your kids are going to grow up in, and it'll seem all normal. You know, it's like, I don't know. Tired of talking about how people suck.
Yeah.
Go back to Michael Che. Something humorous. I need a list of jokes so that when the thing ends, I can be all like, hey, why'd the something or ever cross the road, you know? What's black and white and red all over? None in a blender. Yeah. You know, we can end on something positive.
Like a none in a blender.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
All right. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. Thank you.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.